everyone. Welcome to the Felicity Optimist versus Cynic podcast with us, your hosts, Melissa and Fish. This is a Felicity Rewatch podcast. We'll watch an episode each week and join you here to talk about it. And a reminder, we could mention some things that come up in future episodes of the show because it's not a spoiler-free podcast. I am Melissa, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Fish. Fish, how are you doing today?
Oh, that's sweet. I am doing good today. This was, I don't remember what I guessed from the last time. But I don't think it has anything to do with adoption papers, which is my kind of what I'm remembering. Totally
adoption
different.
Adoption papers.
Yeah, I thought, or not adoption papers, but like legal papers about Lauren not being able to leave the state.
Sure. I mean, I think really what they're trying to get to is Felicity's term paper.
Yeah, did not guess that at
you,
all.
You kind of did.
Did I?
You a little bit did, yeah. Okay. And by the end, you got to that. I'm glad that you weren't going with adoption papers because I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
No.
We watched two different things. what did we watch? We watched season 4, episode 15 called The Paper Chase. It originally aired April 10th, 2002. It was directed by Craig Zisk and written by Alex Taub and Jennifer Levin. This is the episode description. Sidetracked by her redefined love life and career path, Felicity lets a big paper for her art history class go until the last minute. Frustrated and desperate, she resorts to plagiarism and immediately regrets the decision. An ultrasound reveals the sex of Ben and Lauren's child, and the father-to-be considers hiring a lawyer to stop Lauren from moving to Arizona. Meanwhile, Noel's boss expresses his disapproval of Sean's behavior, and Javier fears that Rita's new boyfriend, Michael B. Silver, is gay.
His actual name is Michael as well? Or
yes.
Just in the show? Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure is.
Okay.
Well, Fish, it all starts with an ultrasound.
Well, at least Sean and Ben looking at an ultrasound that Lauren has given to Ben, which, kind of indicates that she does accept him as, someone who's going to be part of this. And Sean and Ben are going to be just kind of mesmerized by this.
And they're in the loft for this scene. Sean's impressed. And by seeing it be kind of real like this, he's saying, oh, you really got to get a lawyer to keep Lauren here. Because, this is a baby.
Yeah. And Ben is just firm in his, nope, don't do that. No.
Yeah, and then Sean's going to just go into some baby talk, and Felicity's going to enter and interrupt that, unfortunately. A little awkward. Felicity's like, what's up? And they're like, just looking at an ultrasound. She's like, can I see? I don't know, kind of has to, at that point, say she wants to see it.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward.
And they're, so now she's looking at the ultrasound, and they're like, oh my God, it's a boy.
She's like, congratulations, kind of.
Yeah, just pretty much just like that. And Sean's like, okay, well, obviously you have to name him Sean.
I mean, it's the best name ever.
Yeah. The congrats from Felicity is about as awkward as what you just depicted there. It's just like, well, okay, this is a thing. It really is.
It's alive. Yeah, that's the whole first scene.
Yeah.
Ultra awkward.
And if you're wondering how Felicity is feeling about all this, I think you're about to see how rattled she is in the next scene where she's back in her own apartment. And for whatever reason, she and Megan are in the same room working on the same paper. I guess they share a class together.
Weird. I put they were studying together. I didn't get that they were in the same class yet, because we had no prior knowledge of them being in the same class. And why would Megan be taking an art history class? Okay.
Yeah.
But she's typing away one finger at a time, just
very tap, loudly.
Tap, tap, tap. That's yeah. Megan. And Felicity's looking at every book, all the books, because she hasn't picked a topic yet.
Yeah.
And as Megan points out, it is due tomorrow, and it is a 30-page paper.
Of which Megan is currently on page 24, which we would assume is about the pace you should be working at for people who have this paper due tomorrow.
Maybe even you're done, but I'm not gonna lie, I've done this before. I've done a paper in a night.
Well, Felicity's like, can you type softer, because that's obviously what's disrupting me.
Megan's just like, no, let's get to the heart of things. I know about the pregnancy.
Yeah, that's what Megan says. And because Felicity is initially just like, no, I just have a lot going on. And she's like, thinking about doing this paper on Georgia O'Keeffe, but not sure because there's just a lot going on right now. Megan's like, yeah, I know about the pregnancy.
She tries to be supportive, not so much, but she tries.
Megan. Yeah, she boils this down to, I mean, you're not going to lose your boyfriend to some boozy hag in Arizona.
I think she says I'd be distracted too if I was going to lose my boyfriend to some boozy hag from going to Arizona. Not actually supportive like we'd like to see.
Felicity initially sort of blocks that, but she's thinking the same thing. Like Felicity is initially like, I'm not going to lose him. She doesn't drink anymore. Megan's like, yeah. But Felicity doesn't have a ton of conviction around these points. And so it doesn't take really any effort for Megan to poke a hole in this to get Felicity to backtrack. And she's like, oh, did Sean tell you about the ultrasound? We could just feel Ben drifting away. And then Megan switches gears.
Well, she apologizes. She's like, okay, like clearly this is a big deal. Felicity has ignored her schoolwork. That is not normal. And she does backtrack. She's like, you're not going to lose Ben. Should not have said that. But about the paper, I have a solution for you. Look, just go to the dissertations that are all in the library and just copy one. It's fine. Everyone does it. Earl does it.
And her suggestion first, and I guess this is a relatively important point. She's like, why don't you just take an incomplete on the paper? Felicity says, I need the credits to graduate.
Yeah.
So somehow this paper has to be submitted and she has to do okay on it so that she can graduate.
Does she have to do okay on it though? I mean, she could just throw something together, get a C or D, and I'm sure she would still pass.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's just say there are other things she could do.
Sure. Well, yeah, Megan's like, just get the dissertation, copy it. Felicity's like, no, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. It'll be fine. And that's where she leaves that subject with Megan. So Megan figures, yeah, of course. Yeah. Because you're a brainiac and you'll make it work.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to head over to the office with Sean and Noel.
Sean is jazzed. He loves working there.
And he's feeling really confident. He's high on life. He's everything's coming up, Sean. He just nailed the Bowers account. He's so excited. Noel's feeling a little bit more reserved about things because he just got word that Webb, the boss, wants to talk to him.
He has a little pink note on his desk and he's looking at it and he looks like he is going to sweat through his suit. Yeah. He's like, I got this note. I know it's all about Zoe. Like I wanted to tell him and now Zoe has, and what am I going to do? What am I going to do, Sean? Sean, tell him what to do.
Well, Sean's got this 4-point plan. It's called FEPS,
yep.
Right? Firm handshake.
Yes.
Demonstrates a firm handshake. Eye contact. He's going to look him dead in the eye. Come to his level.
Lots of eye contact.
Power fist.
Yep.
And you're going to just finish it off with the solidarity squeeze, which he does throughout the episode. He keeps grabbing people's shoulders and squeezing them.
This is otherwise known as sexual harassment.
Yeah.
I thought from a body language perspective, at this point I was like, ah, I mean, Sean doesn't really get people. And if this actually worked, it would be delightfully perceptive. Well, let's just hold on to that thought for a moment.
I love Scott Foley in this scene. Because, you know, this is like your classic, you know, you've got two actors on the screen. One of them is just like, you know, the wild out there character. And the other one has to be what we would call the straight man. Mm-hmm. And Noel is playing that, Scott Foley is playing that perfectly, because it just gives Greg Grunberg all of this room to just do whatever he wants to around Phipps. You know, like, I wonder how many different takes of this they did and how wild it got. You know, like, he is probably really manhandling Scott Foley. But Scott
I would love
Foley
to see the like outtake.
Like, yeah. How he didn't laugh at this, I don't know, but he's just looking at him like mildly unimpressed.
He's like, all right. I mean, the whole episode, I don't know that I felt bad for Noel, but his choice to appease Sean, I guess. By the end, it was getting a little bit on my nerves.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Sean is a lot in this episode. And, yeah. You know, we have to have a little bit more respect for Megan after watching this entire episode.
And it's not like it comes out of nowhere, because Sean's actually been a lot throughout this partnership. I mean, the way he was with Eric, the guy from the sport equipment shop, like, he was actually quite a lot with that, you know?
This is not new. It's just we as the audience, I feel like we have more screen time with Sean as he's being a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just started feeling it. I was like, oh my goodness, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, calm it down. Calm it down.
Sure. Sure. Well, for now, we're going to get a little break from that. We're going to go over back to the ladies' apartment, where I guess Javier just lives.
Yeah, apparently.
That's all I can assume at this point. That's where he always is. He is wearing a tennis outfit. That much I picked up.
Yeah, good.
Asked me to describe it. No clue, but he was holding a tennis racket.
It. Yeah. He looked good in it. I mean, honestly, good on him. Little, you know, some white shorts, got his tennis racket. I mean, he's ready to get out there and do what you do when you take tennis lessons. Meet men.
Yeah. Rita's very supportive. We're going to see Rita again in this episode. She's like, very handsome. I'm sure you're an attractive man. He's like, let's both do this. Let's both play tennis. Let's both attract men. She's like, I already found somebody.
That's right. And she says, I met someone. His name's Michael. And after this part of the scene, I was like, either this is boring and trite, or Javier knows Michael and Michael's gay, and it's still boring and trite.
Right.
I found this whole part of the episode not funny and stupid.
I agree.
Yeah.
And this is one of the top ones that comes to mind when I think of Rita. So, yeah, and I don't know if we see Rita again after this. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Michael is a dental hygienist. She's like, hey, look, we're not physical yet, but I do like him. And sure. Javier, you know, I guess one of the things to note about this is these two are friends, but Rita, you know, hasn't revealed this information to Javier yet. And I think she's doing it out of kindness. She knows that Javier is looking for somebody and doesn't want to make him feel bad. And Javier kind of reacts that way. He's like, oh man, I want to be in love too.
Mm-hmm.
But
stupid.
Yeah. And then Rita's like, well, I want you to meet Michael. I'm gonna have you meet him.
Sure.
Put a pin in that.
Doesn't have to stay there long, because we're gonna just have one scene in between this and the meeting of Michael. Noel and Webb are going to meet. And Noel's sitting down and he's just going to preempt everything and say, look, I know that you know about the relationship with Zoe. I get it. You're worried. She told me about her last relationship. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to hurt her. And Webb keeps
trying to
interject.
I think it's going to make us more productive.
Of course it is.
Has there ever been a time when Noel tried to preempt a conversation and it was effective and like the right thing to do?
No.
No. And this is definitely not a sample of that.
No, because Webb keeps trying to jump in like, no, you see, no, no, damn it, Noel.
I think Webb handles it as professionally as one can handle it. It's just like, you know what? This is about Sean.
Yeah. Not about you. Not about Zoe.
Yeah. And Sean's, and Noel's like, oh yeah, I already nailed the Bowers account. Webb's like,
no, that didn't happen.
Nope, nope, nope. And Noel's like, he didn't nail the Bowers. And then they get into this whole conversation about Sean's style in pitch meetings. And, you know, obviously I understand for TV purposes, like the objective behind having this conversation between Webb, be between Webb and Noel. Because Webb is, it's a disciplinary conversation. It's a behavior conversation. It's a, here's how your work can be improved conversation. And I feel like Webb should be having that directly with Sean. But Webb feels like if he has that conversation with Sean, it's going to result in Sean being fired. Which still doesn't feel like a reason to have this conversation with Noel to me.
Well, it all depends on, I guess, their arrangement, right? Because they did, he did, Webb did bring them in as a group, as an acquisition, and he clearly doesn't want to lose Noel. So that's hard for Webb to have the conversation with Sean, because as we've seen, Sean doesn't always react the best way. So, I mean, Webb's, I feel like he's kind of compromising here. He's saying to Noel, look, you need to take the lead role between the two of you. You need to, you know, keep Sean in line because I don't want to lose any more business. Because if I have to have this conversation with Sean, it will be to fire him.
Yeah. I mean, look, his concern here is that Sean has a very Phepsian style of pitching, which is like he describes as bouncing off the walls, having a lot of enthusiasm, but terrible instincts, you know, and we're going to see so many examples of that in this episode. And we've seen it before.
And I mean, I do feel like, I mean, I don't know that they ever talk about it. I'm guessing because we don't have that many episodes left and I don't remember them talking about it, but it does feel like Sean has perhaps some undiagnosed ADHD. So I don't know. They didn't get into it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Noel takes a firm but polite stance here. Like, Webb's making it clear he doesn't like Sean's style. Noel's like, yeah, Sean's my partner, though.
Yeah. And Webb's like, well, it's my business. And he's losing business for me. So fix it or he's out. And if he's out, you're out. I'm going to have to deal with that.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, like, if Sean's out, then it's a decision between Noel and Sean what this looks like. There could be ways to rework the contract. There could be a lot of things to be done here. But
like, I think Webb has to be okay with losing Noel. Like, he's putting his foot down here where he's like, I will fire Sean.
Yeah.
And I think the implication is, and if you walk with him, like, I have to accept that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's head over to Dean DeLuca.
Sure. I mean, Elena's going to feature prominently here.
As the supportive friend to Javier. What on earth? What world are we? Writers! Writers! Shame on you!
Shame.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It could.
I know. Yeah, it's not good.
Unless Tangi Miller came to them and said, I've got this great contract with this other job that's going to pull me away. I can only work one day a week for the rest of the year. I see absolutely no reason. But anyway, Javier's chatting with Elena. He's like, hey, do you know any single gay guys other than the one that you suggested to me before? She's like, no, I don't. And then Rita's going to enter.
Yeah, she's going to bring along Michael, who I've definitely seen in other things. I just can't remember where. Sure. Like, he's a familiar face. And given my earlier prediction of Javier's going to know Michael and he's going to be gay, I was relatively unsurprised when Javier was like, ooh, Elena, back room, got to talk now.
Yeah, I mean, she introduces Michael, and his one big contribution to this was, oh, yeah, like, I heard you're into tennis. I'm looking for a doubles partner. Javier's like, oh, God. Javier already recognized Michael, and this is just, like, confirmation. And so, yeah, he pulls Elena into the back, like, giving her a task that somebody who works there would do. Elena makes it a point to, like, I don't work here, but he pulls her in the back anyway.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Michael's gay. Yeah. He dated a friend of mine. For Maybe. Sure.
They went to Jamaica.
Yeah, they sure did. And he's like, what do I do? And she's like, well, you don't tell it. Don't, no, just don't tell Rita. Like, this is not,
stay out of
do
it.
Not.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah. And that, my friends, is Elena.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I mean, that's it, I think. Gosh. So, hey, you know, what world are we living in where Rita is more prominently featured than Elena?
Well, I would ask the same question of the next scene. In what world are we living where Felicity and Ben are together? Felicity's having computer problems and Ben's going to solve them? No,
yeah.
No. No, no, no. No.
Yeah. My, how the tables have turned. Yeah, they're in the loft. Felicity is trying to do research for this Georgia O'Keeffe paper that she's planning on writing. She's trying to get onto the Guggenheim.edu site, and the computer keeps crashing. She's obviously losing patience. She's just in starting to get into panic mode. And Ben's like, okay, let me try to help. He starts messing around with it. It's going nowhere, but it's very quickly interrupted by a phone call from Lauren, which he takes in the same room.
Yeah, you don't know it's Lauren, but the phone rings. Ben picks it up and his voice really changes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets quiet. He gets kind of distant. He's turning his body away from Felicity. It's almost like he's trying to hide this conversation
while having it right in front of her.
Directly in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about Lamaze class.
Yeah. He's
going
to participate.
He's going to do Lamaze class. And Felicity's like, after he gets off the phone, she's like, Lamaze?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, here's the move. Here's my strategy. I'm participating more now, so she won't want to move away. This was my dad's suggestion. And Felicity is looking pretty
worried.
Unconvinced about this theory.
I put she's looking worried.
Yeah, he's like, hey, it's just a class. She's like, Yeah. She's like, I'm going to go to the library. She just gets up and leaves. I mean, it's very abrupt. It leaves Ben feeling like, uh-oh. Like,
right.
This doesn't really... That feels like an awfully abrupt departure. Not all is well in Felicity's world, and he can tell. But he's also not addressing it head on.
What's he going to say?
Yeah.
I mean, what's he going to say? It's going to be fine. We'll be fine. It's fine.
Yeah, like, that's what he's been saying.
Yeah. I mean, blah, 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 blah.
Sure. Well, we're going to head over to the library where nefarious deeds are about to begin. So Felicity is going to make a huge point of making sure everybody in the library has seen her every time she goes to the library.
Yeah.
She's going to go straight up to the worker. She's like, hey, where is the dissertation section? I want to know where I can find the dissertations. And then we get world's most skeptical guy working in the library.
I mean, who looks at the dissertation section? I have a dissertation. I'm sure it's, well, maybe it's still in the library. I doubt anyone ever copied mine.
Who knows?
Probably not.
According to Megan, could have been copied.
But we do learn here that, again, Felicity is a terrible liar because she can't just be quiet, right? She's asked where the dissertation section is. Just let it stand. No. She wants to find a dissertation that her friend wrote. Her really good friend who died.
Suddenly.
Yeah. So
Yeah, he just keeps staring her down, and so he eventually points her to it. And then I will say, like, this was artistically shot, this next sequence here, where we're the camera is moving quite a bit. It's moving through the stacks, looking at her. We're gonna pass a kid who's eaten takeout, and make sure to give her the eye as she's walking past. We're gonna watch as the camera keeps moving as she's copying, like handwriting, copying the dissertation. But then she's, after she's taken handwritten notes, she's gonna take photocopies.
Yeah, I mean, she decides to copy the dissertation, and I wrote, I don't know why I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I feel kind of surprised, but I shouldn't be. I feel like the show constantly provides this kind of life justification for her to do certain things, and she does them. I mean, she breaks into pools and she lies like at least 80% of the time, and she cheats on Ben and on multiple papers, if we remember back to season one. I don't feel like these are justifications. I mean, it is this whole montage that we get with this sad music behind it. And it's, I guess we're supposed to feel for Felicity, but it just bugs me
I don't know if we're
that
supposed to
it.
feel for her, if we're supposed to think, well, this is a bad decision. Like, if you know, while it's in progress, I mean, this is a longer sequence and probably more artistically done than season one, where she rewrites Ben's paper. I mean, from everything that happens in the library, then we go to her writing on, you know, she's typing on the computer in her room. You know, we're going to see, you know, it's the evening, and then we're going to pan to the floor. We're going to look at all the papers on the ground, and then, you know, the morning sun hits it, and then she's printing stuff, and it's this whole sequence. But at the end of the whole thing, what I'm thinking is, didn't we do something like this in season one? And I
And
just.
I'm thinking, again, she just makes these bad decisions. And
Yeah.
how many times have I said she doesn't learn?
I know.
Like,
I know.
I don't know what to say.
And I guess
It's
I
just like,
don't take
again.
fault with them showing us that Felicity makes bad decisions impulsively. I guess,
This is
especially
an
with something
impulsive.
so on the nose like this, there have been quite a few times this season where we've said, hey, this is kind of shades of season one. Like we've said that, I feel like several times of major plot points of like, oh yeah, this, you know, they're ripping off of this, or they're, you know, this, they're starting to go. Like with something like this, was there, is there, are there no more ideas?
I
You
just
know?
gave you like three earlier.
I know, but for the writers, you know, like
Oh,
the fact that
yeah.
they, like, were they, was this intentional? Was this, we are going to, derive story points from season one over and over until you're like, hey, this is just like season one. Is like, is this something that they meant to do, or is this something where they just got really lazy and they were just like not thinking of a lot of stuff in the writer's room, and it was just like, yeah, this, she's in school, she has to write paper. Maybe, you know, there was a new crop of writers, you know, maybe after the first couple seasons, those more senior writers moved on to other things and we're starting to get some new names in here, and they don't necessarily know the history of the show and that they've done
But
so
Jennifer
many of these
Levin,
stories before.
yeah,
Like,
but Jennifer Levin has come up a number of times as a
sure.
writer.
Yeah.
Like, she's not new.
I don't know. I wonder, was this intentional to just keep harkening back? Is there a broader point they're making around everything changes, but everything remains the same? Or like, look how much she's grown, but look how much she hasn't. Like, it
is. I feel like they're making a different, broader point, which is like Felicity, she has all of these things in her life that happen that stress her out, that she either is overwhelmed by, or, you know, she justifies writing Ben's paper in the first season for like good intentions. And I feel like they're trying to make this point of, you know, she does make these decisions. And I feel like they're kind of justifying them. I mean, it, yes, she does sometimes face consequences, but she never learns, and it continues to happen. And of course she's going to graduate. Like, I don't have any doubt that she's going to graduate. So I don't know. For me, that's why it was a little annoying, because yeah, we've had this plot line. We've had this same bad decision made multiple times, right?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
did the pool, then she did the TPing with Noel. And it's just like, why does it always work out? Why does she do this? Like, I just want to shake her.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Life is stressful.
I mean, look, I think it might have felt better for you if you got to see next episode, like, where there's a little more comeuppance on this. I mean, I think Megan, like, the biggest reckoning we really have here is Megan being supportive to her. So it definitely doesn't feel like she's going to learn a lesson from this at this moment. They're not, I mean, I think your instincts are correct. They're not going to have her not graduate because of this paper. How they're going to get there is going to be uncomfortable for her, but they're not really doing that in this episode.
There's only 2 episodes left till graduation. How uncomfortable could it get?
It gets uncomfortable. Like, it's,
I mean, she doesn't have to go see Pavone for like 5 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I mean, there's 2 episodes, and one of them is her graduating. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it just I don't know.
You want consequences, is what you want.
Well, I want her to learn. I want her to stop making bad decisions.
I mean, yeah, she's
and I want the show to stop making it feel like there are justifications for it, because it feels like, you know, the world's coming down around her, all the stuff with Ben, you know, they keep hearkening back to that. And, you know, they're doing this by showing, you know, the conversation with Lauren right before she goes and does this. And, you know, I mean, the point could be that her personal life leads her to bad decisions.
I think that happens.
It's just like, I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Well, listeners, if you are doing the at-home game of counting how many times we've used the word hearkening, that's 2. Okay. But in the meantime, we're going to cut to art history class the next morning, where Megan looks at Felicity holding a finished 30-page paper in her hand. And she's like, one night? You did that in one night? Wait. It's on Monet? Wasn't it going to be on O'Keefe? So
Megan's, and I'm still stuck on the whole, wait, Megan's taking art history? What?
Sure. Well, Felicity is going to reluctantly hand in her paper, barely able to let it go because she knows she's done something wrong. And we're going to head over.
Well, to the ever talented Jane Lynch, who I'm just going to say I love and feel like she, I mean, I feel like she gets a lot of credit in Hollywood, but there should be more. And I hope we see more of her.
Well, good news for you. We're going to see her at least in the next episode. So
oh, fantastic.
Good stuff. We're going to head over to the loft where Ben sighs.
Felicity is clearly stressed out sitting at the table, but Ben's sigh is like a child's cry to a new mother, and she must perk up and ask, how Ben is doing.
Yeah, sure. He's like, not great. I mean, Lauren's going to move to Arizona. She's moving with her ex.
Yeah.
Okay. So the genius move to go to Ma's classes that didn't do it. Okay.
Wow. Big
Gosh.
surprise.
Well,
Amazing.
Felicity's like, what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going to see a lawyer, is what I'm going to do.
Yep, got to get that free consult in. See what happens. See what's going to happen,
Yeah.
and then Megan's going to come in, and
Because some amount of time has passed, a fair amount of time has passed, some number of days, maybe a week.
maybe a year. We don't know.
Who's
Could
to
be like,
say?
maybe it's 2025.
Could be. Because Megan has come back from art history class, which Felicity skipped.
Yes.
And she's like, so Carnes wants to see you, the professor. And Felicity's not aware that the papers were just handed back. And so Megan informs her that, yeah, she handed back the papers today. We all got our grades. So Felicity is feeling pretty ominous about this reason why Carnes wants to talk to her.
And we leave it there.
Sure do.
Picked up later.
Yeah, but first we're going to go to a walk and talk.
That's right. And Noel is going to politely ask Sean if perhaps he could take the lead on the next account and maybe, just maybe, read the room, and see whether Phelps is appropriate.
Yeah, this is going to be the suitcase account. I think they call it the Waldron presentation. I couldn't quite hear the name that they said, but they keep referring to it as the suitcase presentation. So, yeah, Noel's trying to get Sean to just not jump in on this
Right.
one.
Just let him take the lead.
Sean's like, you know what? Fine, that's cool. I'm going to observe as you use Phelps.
Yeah. But I was like, not let's see. Let's see if Phelps is appropriate. Sean's just like, I've never seen a situation where Phelps wasn't the go-to move.
Yeah. He's a Phelpsian scholar, is what he is.
Right.
Yes, I'm going to use the word Phelpsian as many times as I can because
I think it's fantastic.
I love it.
But the important point is that Noel does not tell Sean that he has had a conversation with Webb. He does not tell him about the consequences of, Sean jumping in during this presentation. I mean, he really just doesn't do any of the stuff that Webb was hoping he would do, like sit down and have a conversation with Sean about their roles and, Sean's behavior.
Yeah, and it's really not Noel's job to do that.
But
I
is
don't
it?
know.
It might be. I mean,
It
again, if they're
depends on their
required,
contract with Webb.
that's what I'm saying, is like, I
Yeah.
think they're required as a team. They've said, Noel is saying that. He's like, he's my team member. And Webb is having a conversation with the person he wants to remain in the company.
Yeah.
He's like, if you can get this other guy under control, great, we'll have you both. But I mean, to me, they're not actually employees, I don't think,
Yeah.
in the way like a regular employee structure would work. They have been acquired as a team, and Noel is the reasonable one.
Yeah.
He's the only one
Well,
Webb can have a conversation with.
it's tricky. I mean, I don't know. Does Noel do the right thing here? Does he not do the right thing? Is there any way for him to do this pre-meeting with so little time before the meeting where he can actually get Sean to be mature about it? I don't know.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Like with so little time before the meeting, although who knows how long it's been at this point? Could
I
have been
mean, at
3 months.
least a week.
Yeah. So let's head over to the apartment where Javier has been hard at work playing tennis. He's in a sling from tennis elbow because
Yeah, and
I
I
don't
was
know.
thinking tennis elbow. My God, doesn't that take years to develop? But it may have been years. We don't know.
Yeah, who's to say? I didn't need the sling. Rita comes to the door. What, you're wearing a sling? He's like, yeah, tennis elbow. But because Javier's been doing so many tennis lessons, he's found a guy for her in his tennis class. She's like, do you remember the part where like 3 years ago I told you that I was dating Michael?
Yeah, we've been together for 3 years now. I don't understand. You met him and we've been together ever since. So.
Yeah, she's like, are you saying you don't like him? What is happening right now? Javier actually kind of gets down to business pretty quickly with this. He's like, sort of, but he's like, hey, remember the whole thing about Tennessee Williams, how I'm kind of like him? Well, sort of, Michael is too. He's gay. Okay, if you didn't know what I was saying, I
Yeah.
was
He likes
saying
other
gay.
men. And Rita, of course, she becomes defensive and she lashes out. And she's like, she basically says, "You're jealous, you can't be happy for me. I can't believe you didn't say anything 3 years ago when I started dating him."
Michael is
And
not gay.
yeah, she's very clear he's not gay. And of course, in today, I'm thinking, well, maybe he's bisexual. But back then, no, of course not. We're not gonna possibly think about that. No, you're either gay or straight, and he is gay, apparently.
Yeah, and then, Rita's hurt. She's like, look, I think you're just attracted to him, and you can't deal with the fact that he likes me.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, Javier did lay out his points very clearly. He was like, not only do I believe he's gay, I called my friend Andy, who he dated. He did, in fact, date him. They went to Jamaica together. There's at least some things that Michael's not telling you here.
Right.
And Rita just pretty much leaves.
Yeah. I mean, again, I could do without all of this.
Yeah, me too.
Stupid.
Not a fan. For those of you who like this storyline,
Yeah.
sorry, we don't have much for you.
I mean, tell us why we're wrong. But yeah, not loving it.
Well, we are going to go to the bathroom where Megan is putting on a face mask. And Felicity is going to share what's going on in her brain. She's going to ask Megan about the paper. She's like, so I copied it from the dissertation section.
And Megan is, she's on brand here. She's like, "Oh, you are busted. Oh, man, this happened to Earl once."
Well, what I
Felicity freaks
love
out.
about
She's like,
Carrie
"You
Russell.
said."
Yeah, Carrie Russell comes unhinged quickly in this scene, and it's
Yes.
actually the most delightful thing about half of the storylines on this episode, where she's like, "It's 3 pages, and the ball classes, and she's like operating at a very high frequency, or just speaking at a very high frequency. I can't tell which. Megan's like, relax. It happened to Earl once. You see."
Okay, something very delightful just happened for me, which is you put your hands in the air and, kind of freaked out the way Felicity did. But whatever you just did right there, none of us could hear you. So it was kind of like, kind of like what happened with Felicity. She throws her hands up in the air and she's like, no. Yeah, it was just totally
Yeah,
blank there.
it just like
None of us
a
could hear you.
high-pitched squeal.
Yep.
So enjoyed that moment from Carrie Russell. It was really like you don't see Felicity like that very much, like just
Mean,
totally cannot deal.
she's managed to keep it together pretty well, for most of the 4 seasons. But things, I mean, she's cracking. She is
This is
cracking.
cracking, yeah.
But Megan has the solution again.
She's like, well, he wasn't caught because here's your move. Go to the library, you get rid of the dissertation, and it'll be okay.
And Felicity's like, "I can't do that." Megan's like, "Well, you better, or you're gonna get kicked out."
Yeah. And she's like,
So
well, just tell
we
me it's gonna be
got.
okay. Megan's like, it'll be okay. And then Felicity leaves and she's just like, Oh my God.
Oh
Yeah. I drew the face
man.
in my notes. Two little
Yeah.
dots for the eyes and a big O for the mouth. I'm sure you can imagine, everybody. It's very skillful. We are now going to head to another sort of like artistic sequence of Felicity at the library.
Yeah, we have found out earlier that Felicity, in this episode, Felicity is just a terrible liar. And we are now about to see how terrible she would be as a criminal. She makes her way back to where the dissertation is, completely noticed and just being watched by this guy sitting there. I mean, he's sitting at one of the library carrels
The
and he's
kid with the
just
takeout
staring at her.
food. Yeah.
He's got spaghetti this time, and he's eating his spaghetti, and he's watching Felicity. Does she wait? Does she, go around the corner until he stops staring at it? No, she walks directly up to the book, takes it out while he's watching her, and does she stick it in her bag, to take it somewhere else? No, she just walks by and drops it in. I guess what is supposed to be a trash can, but is actually just a box.
And then, because everybody has seen her do this, because it's the least discreet thing that anybody has done in the library that day, she and less discreet even than her making out with Noel in the
Very much
library
so,
cubicle in season
even though
one.
she was caught by the Everyfish. I mean, this, I guess this guy is the new Everyfish, except he doesn't know anything. He's just creepy, stary guy and eats spaghetti while staring at women.
And then the creepy worker guy who works there is like, so did you just throw a book in the trash? She's like,
I mean, I don't understand how he saw her when she did a cartwheel and sounded off two air horns
was
before
wearing her
throwing it.
invisibility cloak and it was fine. Okay. Yeah. So he's gonna be like, how about you pull it out of the trash? She's
Yeah,
like,
that's not where books go. She's like, ah,
sure. I thought I was putting it away. This isn't a book trap.
the place with the spaghetti isn't where you return books.
She pulls it out. There's spaghetti all over it. She's like, people really shouldn't be eating in here. The guy's like, come on, man.
Well, the other thing I loved was she pulls it out, and when she dropped the book into the air quote trash can, otherwise known as box, she didn't open it. She just put it on, like, on the top. But when she pulls it out, there has been spaghetti smashed in between the pages. So there's like strands of spaghetti coming out of the book, which cannot be extricated, even though she tries. So the whole scene, the rest of the scene, there's just this book with, I don't know, 8 or 9 pieces of spaghetti coming out of it. It's like,
I mean, this Italian would approve, but it's all just so ridiculous. She
bad criminal.
then, in front of everybody, is like, okay, cool. And then she just tries to take it with her when she leaves. And he's like, how about you give it to me?
Yeah, and she doesn't even give an excuse like, it's full of spaghetti, I need to go wipe it off in the bathroom. No, she just stands there and is like, me, spaghetti book, mine.
It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid, fish. It's so stupid.
Almost as stupid as the whole Michael being gay plot line.
Oh my God. Like just the execution of all this. No way would she do it.
Wait, don't get me into the physics of spaghetti moving through books.
I won't. I'm not gonna try to
Okay.
do that. I know you're very passionate on that subject.
Thank you. I wrote a
So
dissertation on it. I don't know if it's still in the library.
somebody might have copied it at this point. Let's go back to the office where it's time for the suitcase account pitch. No. Tries to take the lead initially, and Sean, Sean's gonna immediately just almost break the possible client. He overpowers him with a
With eye
strong
contact.
handshake, as per Phelps. The guy's like, oh, the bones are brittle, and Sean gets eye level and he's like, but the mind's still sharp.
This is
And
before they
Webb.
even start the pitch.
And before they even start, and Webb is like shepherding the possible client, like trying to protect him from Sean's like bear presence.
Exuberance.
And Webb is not liking the but the mind's still sharp bit. But he's gonna give this one a second. So Noel starts to take the lead on the pitch,
Yeah,
just
he gets
gently.
about 6 words in, maybe.
Something like that. He says, "The new rolling travel bag is unique to the marketplace for three reasons." And that is when Sean feels that he needs to step in. Yeah. Because you remember that commercial with the ape fish, the one with the suitcase over his head, which he starts imitating?
Yeah, he just there's so much eye contact. And then, yeah, he's going to be a monkey with a giant suitcase that potentially he's about to try to break. And Noel's
Yeah.
like, let us take a moment. We will be right back.
Let's just take five. Because Webb looks like he's so embarrassed. He wants to be anywhere but that room. I think Noel is accurately clocking this. So he's going to make everybody pause for a moment. Just pause. So in there taking five, they're outside the room. And Sean's Noel's like, so here we are meeting. Sean's like, yeah, you just started slow.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
helping.
losing
It's how I landed the Bowers account. Oh.
him. Yeah, so instead of telling Sean before the meeting, Noel is now going to come clean 5 minutes in to the meeting, and he has to tell the truth. He has to tell the truth about the web meeting to Sean and explain, look, it was not about Zoe. It was about you. You didn't get the Bowers account. And, let me tell you a story. I once was building a house. No way he was building a house. But sure, Noel was building a house. And this is part of what starts to get to me about the way Noel is handling Sean with kid gloves. He's like, I was amazed by the array of tools that were
All the
available.
hammers.
There was a pin hammer for when things had to be done delicately, and there was a sledgehammer for when we wanted to knock the entire house down. And the thing is, Sean, you only use the sledgehammer.
Because the sledgehammer always works.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't.
Well, not in there, it wasn't. I'd like to take a moment as in the middle of discussing this scene, I'd like to interrupt us for my note from an optimist.
Oh, yay.
And you might be thinking to yourself, how?
Oh, I've thought that many times, and yet you've pulled it out.
I just want to take a moment to reflect on, okay, look, I want Noel's metaphors to work. I'm optimistic that one day Noel is going to use a metaphor that's going to land appropriately with whoever he's talking to. We might think back to season one where Noel tells Felicity's dad, she's like a chick. He's like, a chick? Like, oh, like a baby chick. He's like, don't use metaphors. Eventually, Noel's metaphor is going to work. Okay. And then he'll know he's met his match. That'll be his surefire tell that the person he's talking to is his friend for life or more. Who's to say? So I'm not saying it's been effective. I'm saying I'm optimistic that one day it will be effective for Noel to use a metaphor and not be laughed or insult or out of the room or like have him deeply insult the person that he's talking to.
You know who I bet got his metaphors?
Who?
Natalie.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? I bet that was a thing. And I will also say I was partly delighted in this scene because as it continued, I just kept hearing Peter Gabriel singing Sledgehammer
Sledgehammer. I had a delight of having lunch with a friend recently, and we were at this like outdoor we were pl place, and the place next door was playing a station that eventually got to a Sledgehammer, and she had never heard Sledgehammer before. But I unfortunately couldn't control myself, like the amount of lip
One
syncing,
could.
the dancing, when the flutes come in, it was
No one
just,
could.
yeah. She was like, I guess I like this song now. But I mean, it's just an experience, the Sledgehammer experience.
I mean, anytime someone says sledgehammer, that's where you go. It's like
It'd be
if
my
you were to talk
testimony.
about a brick house. I
Yeah.
mean,
Sledgehammer's better.
I don't know. I mean, in terms of an earworm, I mean, it's a better song, but in terms of an earworm, Brick House will get in there
Yeah.
and it won't go away.
Yeah.
So
Well,
Sean does not get Peter Gabriel vibes from this conversation. He is not delighted. There's no lip syncing. He feels very betrayed
yeah.
and he is
He,
going to quit.
his feeling is that Noel is agreeing with Webb's points, because Noel makes it a point to say, like, Webb needs you to back off a little bit. He needs you to dial it down. And Sean's like, what? But he's like, look, he's making good points. Sean now is feeling like Noel is agreeing. Noel is taking Webb's side. But not only that, Sean goes as far as to say, you're just maneuvering yourself now. Sure, I'll get out of your way so you can just, be good buddies with Webb and his daughter Zoe, and I'll quit. It's like, wow. I feel like Noel didn't really do himself any favor. Like, I do think Sean was going to re overreact no matter what, but I also think that Noel was underplaying how supportive he's been of Sean. Like, I don't think underplaying himself was necessarily helpful for him in this situation.
But also, this was the wrong time. He's in the middle of a pitch meeting. Like,
Yeah.
remember that walk and talk earlier? You know, as soon as you have that conversation with Webb, you know a pitch is coming up, maybe sometime in the next 3 years. You take Sean out to have, I don't know, like herbal tea, nothing with caffeine in it. And sit down and have a longer, thought-out conversation with him. Do not try to have the conversation, including a metaphor, in the 30 seconds you have outside a room in the
Yeah.
middle of a pitch meeting.
This is not a disciplinary moment. This is a let's get through this meeting moment. But
Right.
anyway, this is how it happens, you know?
Does it?
I guess so. Well, now we have to go to the art history office or the classroom where Professor Carnes is. And Felicity enters because, she's supposed to meet with Carnes. And Carnes says, that was a fantastic paper. One of the best. That paper was so fantastic, I submitted it to the UNY Journal for possible publishing. And the editorial board has to review it now.
Yeah. And Felicity walks in, and we have this tense music. And through a lot of this episode, we continue to get this really tense, dramatic music. And so you don't think that this is going to be what is said. Also, what's up with professors just being able to submit things for publication? I feel like that's not a thing. I feel like the author has to do it.
Well, that is news to me, but either way, hey, they wanted this to be as tense as possible for Felicity. So she's going to give a nice big gulp right about now. And then we're going to see her talk this through with Megan at the apartment, where
Yeah,
she
because
says,
that's the
oh,
best.
yeah, she's like, I'm a cheater. I cheated on Ben. I cheated on this paper. I'm a cheater.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're not only a cheater, you're also a liar.
Yeah.
And
Megan,
you never
though,
learn. You never learn.
Megan's like, well, look, just you're not a cheater if you don't get caught. Just don't get caught. It's like, if a tree falls in the forest on a mime, does the mime make a noise? I don't know. So Felicity is like, yeah, that was a good theory until it was going to get published. And now I'm
Right.
caught.
And Megan's point is, look, no one reads the UNY journal.
If they are, they're lame.
Just have it published. And if anyone says anything, just deny, deny, deny. And that's it.
Of course, this is complicated by the fact that Felicity admits she couldn't get rid of the dissertation. Megan's like, oh, this
Yeah.
is
What we
like
told you to do.
getting away with
She's
it
like,
101, Felicity. Yeah.
I know, foiled by spaghetti.
Italian.
And she's like, well, then just tell Carnes you don't want it published. Felicity's like, well, that's gonna be a problem. She'll be suspicious.
Megan's like, again, you deny. Ben comes in and he's like, deny what?
Yeah.
Oops.
Right.
And Felicity just covers. She's like, look, my art history paper is being published.
And
And it's
again,
like,
that doesn't answer the question, deny
no, it
what?
really doesn't, but it's fine for Ben. Ben's like, congrats. That's all he needs. Good move. Well done, Felicity.
Is it though? She's just lying. It's a lie of omission again, right? She's liar.
She's a mess. She's a real
Yeah.
mess.
Yes.
So let's go to the loft where Sean is playing video games to blow off some steam.
Yep, that snowboarder's back.
Yeah, and Noel's gonna enter. He's like, shall we talk? Because you walked out of that pitch meeting and that was super unprofessional.
And Sean is basically going to employ the repeat everything that is said, but as a question. So he's going to go, I'm unprofessional.
Noel's gonna go, you abandoned me.
I abandoned you. No. So Noel, at least here, is going to get out the words, I stood up for you. I fought for you with Webb.
I was protecting her, your job. He says, Sean's like, well, that's great, but I quit. So that's
I
done.
don't need that. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
he's hurt. And it's just, Noel is just walking around on eggshells. And Sean is being super sensitive and emotional, which, is Sean. But also, he's married to Megan. So he, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, this is just how he is. He
Yeah.
needs time to process and realize, like, have his feelings. And then once he's moved through them, you can have a more rational conversation, which is why you needed to not have that conversation in the middle of a pitch meeting, Noel.
Sure, yeah. Well, Noel doesn't do himself a ton of favors here. He's like, look, you're blowing this out of proportion. You're
I'm
enthusiastic,
blowing it out
okay?
of proportion.
You're enthusiastic, okay? That's great. Sometimes it's a little overbearing. Not the word he needed.
Eggshells.
Not the word he needed.
So many eggshells.
Yeah. Sean's like, overbearing. He
Question
leaves.
mark?
Yeah. He's just, once again, somebody else in this episode storms out.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, overbearing probably was not an effective word choice for him to use there, but nothing would have been.
Yeah. I mean, again, time. This is a multiple conversation thing with Sean. He knows Sean. He has known Sean. And I mean, I don't want to like dump this all on Noel because, Noel's got his flaws too. We've talked about them extensively. But of the two of them, he is the one who can keep his cool at the moment.
I mean,
So,
Sean is very high maintenance. You
yes.
know, I think that is just a reality of this partnership, and Noel signed on for it. So he's got to learn to
I
deal with it if he
mean,
wants it to continue.
you can say signed on for it. You could say it was co-opted into it by Sean himself.
I don't know. At the end of the day, this wouldn't have happened if Noel hadn't like drawn up the papers and said, no, let's really
Yeah.
do this. Like, Noel did take action to make it happen. He didn't
Yeah.
initiate it originally, but he got them there. So we're gonna go to Javier in the dentist chair. He's at Michael's office. getting his teeth checked, but that's just a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he really wants is to have a conversation, and he gets down to it.
He's like, Michael, you're gay. I know you're gay. And I know the guy you dated. Again, let me just say again, you went to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael takes Megan's advice. Deny, deny, deny.
Mm-hmm.
Never met Andy. I'm not gay. Don't have any idea what you're talking about. Must be someone else. It wasn't me.
Yeah. Javier's like, yeah, so I'm just going to ask you, like, please don't use Rita as your beard. She's a friend of mine. Please don't hurt her. Michael just keeps denying.
Yeah, she's my girlfriend. Like, I like girls. I'm straight. I'm very, very straight.
Yeah.
Deny, deny, deny.
I think when Javier, at the end of the scene, Javier might be like, kind of, did I get this right?
I don't think so.
You didn't think so? I left room for him to be like, maybe I did the wrong thing here.
Maybe I did the wrong thing, or maybe I think that Michael's
like very strong denials made Javier question himself, is what I think I saw in Javier's face at the end of that scene. But honestly, it doesn't matter.
No, because it's stupid.
Like, we could spend 10 minutes arguing over this and it still would matter not even a little bit, because
I would like to just say right here, I usually say this at the beginning, but this episode is brought to you by stupid plot lines.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go to the loft where Megan is sort of recounting the woes and horrors of Felicity's paper situation to Sean. She's feeling very protective of Felicity. Mm-hmm. And she is the one who initially planted the idea to begin with. And then Sean's like, yeah, enough about that. So am I overbearing?
And Megan's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
What? Well, you're not a wallflower.
And she's going to kind of liken his overbearingness to herself. She's like, look, I'm an honest person. Some people may say harsh. And the thing is, I can tone it down. You know, Sean jumps in, it's like, that's just who you are. She's like, no, I can tone it down. I just like being that way. You know, she's just sort of being herself and saying to Sean, you can tone it down if you want.
Like, you could turn it on, you could turn it off, you get to control it. Sean's like, well, yeah, but what I did was I quit today.
Which Megan is going to say, well, that was stupid.
Mm-hmm. She's like, so you have one bad day and then you quit your entire job? Nah, mm-hmm. Not smart. He's like, well, okay, I think that's that honesty thing, I guess. Yeah. Like, Sean, you love that job. And I actually love this ending of this argument. He's like, she's like, you love that job. He goes, I know.
I know. It's kind of sad that the one, like, not the one scene, but like one of the few scenes that isn't completely stupid is Megan telling Sean that he's being stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the tone they struck here because it's still fully a fight. But by the time those last lines are exchanged, it was funny. It was just funny.
Yeah. I mean, they're on the same page.
She's like, no.
It was the first word of the episode.
Yeah, it's like they're able to both laugh at these character traits, you know, in this moment where Noel was not able to get Sean to a place where he could just laugh it off and be like, I'll do better next time. So this is a far, Megan has cracked the code. This is a far more productive way to handle Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to go to art history class where
the music is back.
Yeah. Carnes and Felicity are going to have a little chat. Carnes is like, so the editorial board said your material sounded a little familiar.
But I told them what a great student you are and that you would never, ever, ever, ever cheat. You would never do something like that.
No, not
Never.
Felicity. Felicity's like, well, I mean, if it's going to be so hard, you don't have to publish it.
No way. I support you 100%.
Nope,
They'll
nope,
figure it
nope.
out.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Felicity's like, ugh. So Felicity goes back to Megan. She's like, yeah, this one to the editorial board. They know it's not my work. I'm busted.
Yeah, and at this point, I put Megan's gonna get the
She sure does. Yeah. Later, she comes
Sigh.
back to the apartment with the dissertation in her hand. And Felicity's like, it's too late, though. I have to meet with the board. I have to show them my references for this thing I plagiarized.
But to just stop back there for a second, we finally get the name of that guy who works in the library. His name is Jerry. Megan did, kind of save the day and get the paper. But in doing so, she had to promise to go out with Jerry. Something that she tells Felicity she's definitely not going to do. And therefore, I would like to award the Colleen Tembus mini dick move of the episode to Megan for promising to go out with Jerry and then standing him up. Look. Jerry may be a little creepy, but he was just trying to protect the material that Felicity was covering in spaghetti. So I feel like he was doing his job.
I think that's fair, unless this award needs to be given to Jerry because he asked for her to go on a date with him in exchange for letting her take the dissertation.
It all depends on how it happened. In my mind, I sort of thought promising to go out with him was more of a distraction move and less of a transactional thing. It could be, it depends on which way you thought about it. I feel like Jerry wouldn't compromise himself that way.
Maybe not. I mean, it's hard to say. He takes his job
Yeah,
seriously.
I
He's
think he
probably a
does.
stickler.
I think he went and cleaned that dissertation off and took all the spaghetti out of it and put it back on the shelf so that Megan could go get it.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
I
Well,
have some
Megan's
respect for
feeling here,
Jerry.
Megan is fully in like, I support Felicity at all costs mode. She's like, look, this whole copying the dissertation thing, it's not a big deal. People do this. Everybody does this. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's Ben's fault because, he slept with Lauren, just got pregnant. Like, it's him. Felicity's like, well, that's a bit like, that's a leap. Like, it, actually, it's my fault.
Correct, Felicity. It is your fault. And then we're gonna get a little weird, because Megan's gonna say, look, in a year, you won't even remember this happened. You won't even remember me. Well, that was a weird transition.
Sure, but Megan says things like this now. And then Felicity is like, what? We'll see each other every day. We're gonna be friends. Megan's like, come on, after all this is over, you think we're gonna be friends? Felicity's like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just asking. And they laugh it off.
What a weird end to that scene.
Only weird if you don't bel if you didn't believe some of the other things that you thought were weird in previous scenes. But for me, this is now on par with how Megan feels about Felicity.
I don't think it's weird that they would have had these two conversations separately. I just thought it was a weird transition. To go
Okay.
from the whole paper thing to like reassure me we're gonna be friends. Like,
Yeah. Okay.
what?
Well, she's been earning her friend stripes here.
Yeah, all right.
We're gonna go to Noel at the office, and Sean comes in, who has apparently unquit himself.
Right. Yes. He's gone to Webb and had a conversation. He's gonna have a second chance, and he's told Webb that he is going to change his style to make it more like
I
Knowles.
was like, no. That's not. We complement each other. We have to be different.
Yeah, but Sean's going to continue to heap the praise upon Knowles. He's like, I've had some time to think about it, and I've talked with Webb, and I just want to say I really appreciate that you are loyal. Webb said you did fight for me. So we're back on board, we're friends again, and you're going to keep me in check, right?
I was like, sure. And now they're buddies.
Ta-da!
Yeah, just like that.
Stupid.
Well, in another story of friendship, we're going to go back to the ladies' apartment and Javier's apartment where they're coming up. We're going to go to the elevator. And Rita's coming up in her own little tennis outfit. She sees Javier about to get on the elevator.
And she does look cute in the tennis outfit. I will say, both of them look super cute in their tennis outfits. And that is the only bright spot in this entire plot.
Sure, because Rita is coming back with info. Like, if you were wondering for even a second what Javier's face was belying at the end of the last scene where he confronted Michael, it doesn't matter. Because minutes later, Rita comes off the elevator. She's like, yep, Michael's gay.
Yep. You were right. I was wrong. Let's go meet men playing tennis.
Yeah, Javier's like, we can be mixed doubles partners. Yay!
And then I wrote, annoying.
Sure. Well, okay, let's head over to the loft. She's lying in bed, or she's not lying, she's sitting up in bed, and she's looking at the ultrasound.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Ben's gonna enter. He's like, it's hard to get used to, isn't it?
Yeah, you as a father. Yeah, not me as the mother. Yeah, we're young. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's all tough. Ben says, well, I saw a lawyer. No good news, but there is some bad news. Thinks I should move to Arizona. But what? I told her, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, Ben walks into this room. I think Scott Speedman really throughout this entire series does a great job of body language, especially once his father comes into it. And the second he walks into this room, you know he has bad news, because when he has bad news, he tries to shrink himself. And his shoulders are like, he's tried to move them closer together. And he's like bending his head forward, and he sits on the bed, and he continues to try to shrink himself and make himself smaller. You know, he's telling her, I'm not going anywhere. The lawyer thinks I should move. But you know that he doesn't believe it because of this body language. He's not sure. He knows it's bad news. So I just feel like at this point, it is really hard to take anything he says seriously. His words are just meaningless.
Yeah. And I guess before we go on with this scene, I guess it's worth just stopping down on that a little bit more, because I never was unimpressed with Scott Speedman as an actor. I've seen this series a lot. I really enjoy Scott Speedman, but I think this watch has made me have a greater appreciation for his acting skills. Like, he's very, very good.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff that's very complicated, and sometimes stuff that probably wasn't even in the script. You know? And I just think he's handled comedy and drama and uncertainty and complex emotions very well. And comes way up to Scott Speedman.
Yeah.
But in this scene, Felicity can't even really engage with that conversation from Ben. She's just like, well, they think I copied my art history paper. And you know why? Because I did.
But then she's going to turn around and say, and the reason I did it is because I can't concentrate because of us, i.e. you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, again, taking on Megan's thing here. It was Ben's fault.
Oh, yeah, so she's Ben's freaked fault. Out. She couldn't write it. And then she's like, look, I'm in trouble. I don't even know if I'm going to graduate.
And again, meaningless. I mean, I might as well be hearing, like, the Peanuts characters listening to adults. Wah, 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 wah. Ben's sitting there going, you will graduate. We will get through this. Everything will be fine. It's okay. Blah, 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 blah.
Felicity is not so sure. And the camera pulls back as they hold hands sitting up in bed. I mean, I guess, it's unfortunate that there was absolutely no tension for you around the idea that she wouldn't graduate, because that's going to disrupt your viewing of the entire next episode.
Oh, come on. They're not going to let her not graduate.
Sure. Okay. Well, there you have it.
I think that's the fastest we've gone through.
We obviously loved this one.
Stupid.
I mean, Fish, I hesitate to even ask, but let's head to the "You're the Worst" segment. Who, pray tell, was the worst?
I mean, I had a wealth of choices for this one. Really, many, many characters could have gotten it. But because it annoyed me so much, I went with Felicity, "You're the Worst." Being stressed does not equal justification. You have made so many mistakes in this episode, similar to mistakes you've made in previous seasons. In fact, every other season. First of all, you listen to Megan. That never ends well. Second of all, you cheated again. And then you tried to throw out someone's dissertation while doing a handstand and juggling bowling pins. Of course you got caught. And let's not forget your lie of omission to Ben about the paper and the baby, which you continue to not share your feelings about and just let the internal stress eat you from the inside out. You lied to your professor, who supports you 100% and is also the amazing and talented Jane Lynch. How dare you? And to the poor library employee, Jerry, who is now going to be stood up on a date after picking the spaghetti out of the dissertation. You don't come clean with Ben. Nothing ever changes. You never, ever learn. And then you blame Ben for cheating in the first place. Felicity, you're a liar, you're a cheater, and it makes you the worst.
Felicity, you're the worst. Hey, Fish, you know who's the best?
Our listeners.
Yep. We
especially are... those who listened to the last podcast we did, which I know they're not going to hear this one until after they've listened to it, so I can compliment them on that.
Well, I mean, that was for them. It was like two podcasts ago.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, yes, okay, you're right. The ones who listened to two podcasts ago, which was just a freaking mess.
Well, we apologize. Okay.
Well, I apologize.
I didn't think it was such a mess, but that's okay. You guys can tell us, all right? You can tell us what you think, but we appreciate your listenership.
I'll just say there were a lot of tangents.
Okay. We almost never do that.
Never.
Hey, folks, we're ready for the after you listen to this tape, you have to go ready segment. Coming back from that tangent. We have a whole bunch of feedback, but I feel like a lot of it is better suited towards not this episode. So we've got a couple thoughts about Megan and Felicity that feel like they do fit here. So we have from at Hanan.Shaheen, who says, "I just wish I had a friend like Megan. Very kind and truly loving and protective. She is so believable in this role that whenever I watch her in an interview, I tell myself, oh my God, why is she acting so calm and reasonable?" Shout out Mandy Foreman.
Yeah. It's called acting. She's really good at it.
I cannot get over the fact that when we talked to her, she was wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt.
I know.
You know, it was just like, what? What? It was just total disruption of my thoughts.
Bringing those two worlds together. Yes. Yeah,
good stuff.
It's called being good at your job.
And at Insta.Mickey says, regarding Megan and Felicity, They are like oil and water that somehow blend together. Crazy, those two. Megan even defends Felicity to others when she is wrong, like sisters would do.
Yeah, that's sweet and true.
Yeah, definitely true in this episode, that's for sure. Oh, well, true in a lot of episodes.
True in a lot of episodes. I don't know that Megan thought she was wrong.
Hmm.
I mean, it was her suggestion. She has a slightly altered moral compass, she does, perhaps from the rest of us, or at least us.
It's like, you know, when actors talk about playing villains and they're like, I mean, villains are always the hero of their own story. They don't think they're a villain. They think they're and Megan has that same logic for everything Felicity seems to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's the older sister.
Yeah.
She's protecting her. She's giving her good advice.
Yeah. But it's not the last piece of Megan and Felicity feedbacks to come, but there's more Megan and Felicity stuff. So I thought I'd just put a pin in that for a bit. But, you know, thank you for sharing your thoughts, because this, I think this is a really important relationship on the show.
I agree. I find them delightful.
In a way, it might almost be the core love story. I know that's a radical thought, but I don't know. Maybe get to the end of episode 17 and let me know what you think about that.
I mean, it might be the more healthy love story.
Yeah, it might be. Well, Fish, I fear for us, but we need to rate this episode.
I went first last time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm rating this one in the unit of fepses.
Of course. I mean, what else would you rate it in?
Guys, fepses. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. This may even be generous, but I'm going 3.5 out of 10 fepses. Yeah. Because what is happening in this episode? So I'll tell you how I dinged this. I dinged it for the use of Elena.
Mm.
How did we get to this world where she is supporting the supporting characters?
Mm.
I dinged it for basically the entire Javier and Rita story. Yep. I dinged it for, and I wrote this in my notes, Felicity cheats on paper again.
Yep.
Just to be able to write it like that. Come on, folks. Like, there was no other ideas in the writer's room. And then I dinged it for the just asinine process of how they have her going about throwing up the dissertation. Like, what a bumbling idiot they make her. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know. Like, did we need all this? Why 3.5? Like, I almost... My favorite part of this was probably the Noel and Sean stuff. I think it's interesting that we get these characters together. It's still kind of a new pairing for us. So I think we're still exploring their dynamic. I do think that we're starting to get a pattern of their dynamic, and they're starting to learn how to talk to each other and gain each other. I think it's interesting that there's this like Noel and Sean, and then sort of Megan cleans up those problems, and then Sean and Noel talk again, sort of thing. It is an interesting dynamic, and we haven't been seeing it for 4 seasons. So it's new to me watching this season. And I don't know, I guess that's fun. So most of my highlights are that. I think the Felicity and Ben stuff, I think, is very much like a, let's kick this can down the road, because we're going to get, when I talk about villain Lauren, like, that's the next episode.
I was going to say, we only have 2 episodes left.
Yeah, they're going to go in hard with Lauren on the next one, from what I remember anyway. But this is just like, we've got to solidify that she's moving, and, you know, like, they needed to carry that plot forward without having her actually in the episode. So they did it in all the ways they could. Yeah. So 3.5 out of 10 fepses.
Yeah. And from you, that's rough.
Is that great?
Yeah. I mean, all the stuff you said, and also I found the Sean and Noel stuff annoying.
Uh-oh.
I think the best scene for me was the Sean and Megan one, where by the end of it, they kind of like agreed that Sean did love the job. In fact, that may be the only scene that I enjoyed. I actively disliked like what, 98% of this episode.
Oh no.
And so I rated Gloves as always, and I just want to remind everyone. So the way that I rate is a little bit different than the way that Melissa rates. So for me, a zero means I'm kind of apathetic between watching an episode and not watching an episode. And generally what I say is like any Felicity episode is better than not watching a Felicity episode, right?
Oh my God.
Unfortunately,
Oh,
I was wrong. So, I am going to give this one like a negative five because I do not want to watch this again. I will never watch this again unless, like, strapped down to a chair with my eyelids peeled open, a la like Clockwork Orange. The whole thing was stupid. It was just stupid, and I'm not watching it again.
yeah, I mean, I guess that probably makes this our combined least favorite episode.
I mean, it's the only one that went into the negatives.
Yeah, I mean, I did have a 3.5 though. We had season 3, episode 8. You gave it a 1, I gave it a 2.5 out of 10. That was
Still
Aboriginal
positive.
Dances. That was going to be one of our Jane, Tyra Banks episodes.
Yes. Also not great.
Yeah.
But I would still watch it again.
Yeah. Hey guys, look, they can't all be
Apparently not.
amazing.
I thought that I would watch any Felicity episode again. I
But
was
not the
wrong.
paper chase, okay? Don't get it
Nope.
twisted. Gosh. Well, hey, maybe it'll be better next time. Okay, we'll see. I'm prepared to make no claims about that. Okay, so hey, look, we want to hear from you. What did you guys think? Should we be more lenient on the paper chase? Please tell us what you think the benefits and values of the paper chase are. Okay. We want to hear. So send us your feedback at themelissafish@gmail.com. That's Melissa with one L, two S's, themelissafish@gmail.com. You can also be part of the conversation over on our Instagram at Felicity Podcast. And if you want to know when we drop the next episode of this podcast, go ahead and sign up for our newsletter, which is how we inform you of that. And you can check wherever you're listening to this podcast, check the show notes. The link to sign up is in there. Hey, while you're doing that, go ahead and rate and review our podcast because it's just a way for other Felicity fans to discover this long form content. Fish, next time we talk, dear God, I hope it goes better than this for everybody's sake. But ne next episode we're going to discuss is called Ben, Don't Leave.
Oh, wow.
What do you think that's about?
I think Lauren is going to come out of the gate a total bitch and, going to be moving to Arizona. And Ben's going to cave and say, all right, well, I talked to the lawyer. Guess I'm moving to Arizona too. And Felicity is going to go, Ben, don't leave. The end.
That is Fish's prediction. And as many spoilers as I did give, I didn't give all the spoilers. So,
Oh,
like,
also, there's going to be something about Zoe and depression since, again, we only have two episodes left. And apparently, somehow, they're also going to shoehorn in something about Felicity in this paper.
Yeah.
She'll probably have to redo it.
Well, we'll just see how it goes.
There'll probably be an academic tribunal that will be uncomfortable.
Could be.
They
And
like to
then
do.
maybe they'll do a whole thing where they do the tribunal and there'll be questions like, can you tell us what dramatic irony is? And she'll be like, no, because I did that in season one. Remember?
I mean, just part of the stupidity of this whole thing is the editorial board asking for her references. Because guess what a paper does? It gives you all the references in endnotes and footnotes. That's what a dissertation is. You can't just say stuff without referencing it. And if you don't have a specific thing, it goes in the bibliography. Stupid.
I really wonder, as we close out the final episodes of season four, what is it going to be like to be a listener listening to us talk about this show?
I don't know. I am still hopeful that, one, I will enjoy whatever they do with Lauren, because I've enjoyed Lauren so far. Nothing that Lauren has done to me up to this point in time has been irrational, has been like, she's been a character we've talked about. You've said there's more stuff with Zoe that could be interesting. So there's that.
You know, and then we're going to head into five episodes of time travel, and one of them is going to be a clip show.
Okay, the clip show is going to be a rough one.
It's not going to be easy, but guys, we're going to get there.
I'm not going to lie. I am really not a fan of clip shows.
And I'm so trying this to remember may not the clip be my show, lowest rated. I never, ever, ever watch those episodes back. So I can't remember if it's one or two clip shows.
Oh my goodness, two?
I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
All
right, look, we are going to do this together. That's what we're doing. I was hoping that I might like the time travel. Who knows? There are some that do. We have heard, at least theoretically, there are people that enjoy it. So maybe I'll like it. You know, maybe in the whole flip of things, Melissa will become the cynic and I will become more optimistic. Not during the clip shows, though. I thought negative five was as low as it could get, but let me just tell you, negative numbers go on to infinity.
That's
so
true. Yeah,
I mean, we never put a lower limit.
That's so true. This is something to look forward to, folks. I don't know what's gonna happen to us. It's come unglued, guys. All right, so Just buckle up, all right? Buckle up. Anything else we want to say about, is there anything else we want to say about this one?
Stupid.
Okay. Well, until next time, fish, don't hook up with Ben while I'm gone.
I'm a fish.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.